Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Hi, everyone. I'm Devin Timone.
And I'm Devon Rogers. And this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
Yes, it is. And today we have a special episode of the podcast just for you. We're going to be diving into an exciting new series that's out now called The Challenge Home Turf. Devon, why don't you tell the people a little bit about the series?
I got you, girl. Okay, so boom. It's an 8-part YouTube documentary series where your favorite challengers reveal their takes on their career's most iconic moments. As they dissect their timelines on and off the show, we learn more about who these cast members were before their camera started rolling. Straight from the heart of their hometowns, they share untold stories of their past, bringing us behind the scenes into their upbringings and family life. Man.
And today, we're focusing on CT and Amanda. And I'm so excited to dive into these episodes because CT is, I mean, he's the king of the challenge, arguably. And Amanda, you're good friends with her.
Yeah.
So I know we both have a lot to say, but before we get into it, let's take a listen to a clip from CT's Home Turf episode.
My parents were always there. One way or another. Dad was, if he wasn't working in the daytime, he'd be watching us at night. And when Mom wasn't working at night or at bingo, you know, Dad'd be watching us. My dad, he's a big old teddy bear now. Mom's got zero filter. Mom's the worry bug. Sometimes she thinks she's psychic because she's always doom and gloom. I mean, even to this day, whenever I want to travel on challenges and I'm letting her know where I was going, she's the first person to let me know about any natural disaster that's happening in any area. She's a worry bug.
Mom and Dad, they grew up here. It's funny, this building over here, my father's mother lived at that corner, and my mother's mother lived in the top right corner. So both grandparents lived in the same building. Yeah. Every day I'd have to come over there and bring them leftovers or dinner or whatever it was. Right now we're in Charlestown Navy Yard. You go through that gate D and you wait for the tour buses. That's where typically we throw water balloons and eggs at the tourists. Over here, that crane, usually when that's over toward the edge, We'd all climb up and jump off and then get chased by the Navy on security. For the most part, I was usually really shy. I was a middle child, right? So it was two older brothers and me, and then my younger brother, and then, you know, my sister, the youngest one, the girl. So I honestly do feel like sometimes they forgot about me. And so I was always watching, you know?
I did good in school. I was good at math, science. I was good at that. Surprisingly, I was good at geography.
You know, every time I would come back from school, as I was getting older, I would try to come back, do my homework as fast as I could in the summertime if I wasn't going to Boys and Girls Club. And I would sit there and wait for my dad to get home with the basketball because we'd go to the cage. The cage is like the legendary basketball court in town.
I was in Charlestown till about 14, 15 years old. Then after that, we moved north of Boston. We moved to Tewksbury.
Yeah, I honestly do think one of the best things they ever did for me was to get me out of here. I think the only reason I wasn't caught up is because I had parents that cared, that gave a shit. You know, and they caught me breaking into a car, caught me stealing. You know, I don't know, I had hell to pay. I honestly do feel like I was kind of the one that everyone kind of tried to keep out of trouble. I think they knew I wasn't like them. I didn't have I don't think I quite had that animosity like they did. I know you guys see me on TV acting a fool, but these down here, man, they were different animals.
I almost feel like my hometown, even though it's there on the map, it's really not there anymore, if that makes sense. And I think, I don't want to say it's sad because I'm assuming it's for the better. But, you know, it was nice to be able to just go and see it one last time before before it's completely gone. When I got to college, I couldn't wait to get up and grow up and get out there. So I was playing basketball, I was an engineering major, and I found out that if I had just took another class or two, I can get my accounting minor. And then I was also bartending on the weekends, and I'm not sure if it was at the Palace or this other place I was bartending at, but I think of all people, DJ Scribbles was coming. So I went to my accounting tutor, and I wanted to leave a stack of flyers on her desk. And she was a fan of the show, and she was the one that was like, well, there's a casting call for The Real World in Boston at Faneuil Hall. And so, you know, I skipped my accounting class. Sorry, Dad. Started from the back, worked my way to the front. The bodyguards caught me. But then the casting director, she says, no, he's fine. Hey, you want to sign up? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. I get a call back, and they're like, hey, listen, we want to fly you out to L.A. for the final interview. I'd never been that far. I never traveled that far before. And I remember they put me in a little room in front of a camera like this, and they said, we're going to give you 2 minutes to say whatever you want. And I was just kind of like, well, I just want to say thanks. I've never been to L.A. before. I really appreciate anything of it. And then two people come in the room. It was Mary Ellis Bunim and John Murray. They come in, and they look at me. They look at each other, look at me, and walk out. I don't think, wait, whoa. So I'm trying to chase after him down the hallway. I don't know, for whatever stupid reason, I was like, I thought it would, do you want me to take my shirt off? And they said, no, we're good. And they just kept walking. And I was like, oh, man, all right, I guess that's that. And I remember being in layover, I think I was, where that's when I found out I was going to get on the show. And I was like, yeah, I screamed. Everyone's looking at me, like, relaxed. And they asked me if I want to do Real World or Road Rules. And I don't want to be stuck in a Winnebago competing. Right? It's funny that I say that now when I'm on the challenge. And for whatever reason, I thought it was in Australia. And I remember saying, yeah, I'm ready for the land down under. And they're like, well, it's in Paris. And I was like, oui, oui.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
All right, that was a little taste of CT's episode of Home Turf. You can watch the full thing on the Challenges YouTube channel. Day, what do you think? Wee wee.
I thought that was so cool because, you know, we watch these people on TV, right? And I say that as someone who grew up watching CT on TV, right? And so all we get to see is them on TV. And it's almost as if when you're a viewer, you forget like, oh, wait, that is a human. Like, yeah. That is a person who has a life outside of what we get to see. And so getting to just hear the process of how he got cast and what he was doing before he got cast, it's like, yo, like, it makes it a lot more intimate with that person, if that makes sense, you know? How about you?
Totally. I love seeing that. I love seeing about like the history where he grew up, his family. And I didn't know CT came from the projects. I think that's huge. And then seeing the home that his dad was able to build and
so
just how close he is with his family says so much. Also, I mean, we've known it from watching the show, but just how smart CT is. He was going to school for engineering, getting a minor in accounting, like beauty and brains. Okay, yeah. C-Tizzle, we love that. It was just really, because CT is an icon. I mean, we're talking his Real World season was 20 years ago, right? Yeah. And so it's like this, he is an icon when it comes to television. And, you know, also hearing him speak about being the middle child in that.
Girl, I was just going to say that. Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense that he's a middle child. You know, everyone always says the middle child is the one that's the one, right? And mm-hmm. so when he was like, yeah, I'm a middle child, I was like, that checks out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. The other thing that killed me, like, I still vividly remember my whole casting process for like Real World. And Laurel right. and I actually talked about it a little bit the other day because she was supposed to be on Real World Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it's such a special, it like holds such a special place for me, that whole process. And so hearing CT's casting story and the fact that he was just basically like, sound almost like a club promoter, right? Like handing out flyers because this DJ was coming. He's doing it at school. And the fact that his teacher was basically like, oh, well, you know, they're doing Real World auditions. And so CT's thinking, oh, I can hand out flyers there, only to be stopped by security, which I feel like seems on brand for CT.
So on brand.
And then for the casting person to be like, hey, do you want to come audition? Like, yeah. I love that he sort of accidentally fell into this behemoth, into the most iconic reality yeah. show. I'm just going to say it. Like, Real World is the most iconic reality show of all time.
Yeah.
90% of shows out there now are pulling things from the way that Real World was shot, whether it's yeah. the talking head interviews, living in a house, like all of that is owed
from
to
Real World, for sure.
Real World. And so sure. it is iconic in that way. And so seeing, you know, CT sort of fall into the audition process, and then that he got to meet the iconic duo,
oh,
John Murray and yeah. Mary Ellis Bynum, who are the founders of Real World, reality TV. Mary Ellis Bynum passed away not that long after that. And so yeah. it's just really cool that he got to have truly this iconic experience. And then not him talking about
down.
Right. Not him being disappointed they didn't want him to take his shirt off, and that he thought it was Australia. And then he said,
It sounded like he was more excited about Australia, because when they were like Paris, he was like, okay.
Well. I know. He was like, which is just so funny, because that's the other thing, right? Is like, you go through this. I'm not sure how long CT's audition process was, but oftentimes for Real World, I know mine was almost a 6-month audition process. And so you're going through all these rounds and interviews. Like, CT describes it in a way that's pretty simplified, but there's multiple rounds, multiple people you're talking to. Usually by the time you're getting flown out somewhere, yeah. you're far along, like very far along in that process. And even then, they don't tell you right away where you're going. I know for me, it was one of the last auditions. So again, almost 4 or 5 months in before I found out where they were actually going to be doing the Real yeah. World. So yeah, just, it's so cool. And then seeing the baby photos of CT, like,
I know.
What a cutie.
It's amazing how people grow up and then they grow into this person, this human that we all get to know. And then you look back and it's like, that's how you started?
Right.
Who's that kid? Who's right. that little kid? You know, you want to know, because we all have our stories, our childhood yeah. stories that made us who we are today. And so I thought that was so cool. I also thought it was really cool how this entire documentary starts. His particular segment starts with him saying, as he goes into his hometown, that the challenge potentially saved his life.
Yeah.
He said, because if not, he feels as if he probably would have been buried somewhere yeah. in those streets. So at the end of the day, he feels like the show saved his life. And that is such a good thing to hear. He took a risk.
Yeah, he did. And CT yeah. dropped so many gems, which is what I love. Like, I yes. love that people get to see this side of him, because I think if you've watched him throughout his whole 20-year career, you get glimmers of it. But yeah. I also think it's easy to see just sort of these snapshots of CT, whether it be the villain, the meathead, the champion. But I feel like there's so much more to him. And so yeah. seeing how he was raised, to me, makes so much sense of what a gentleman he is. CT's yeah, yeah, actually yeah. a gentleman. I remember on yeah. Free Agents, like, I would be cold and he'd give me his jacket and it smelled good too. And just like what a gentleman CT was. And yeah. and it makes sense, because it sounds like his parents really instilled that in him. Like, when he talked about like all the other moms in the neighborhood would sort of like
the village,
keep all the kids
yeah.
in line, you know, like if I messed up at so-and-so's house, I got in trouble there. And then I would yeah. get in trouble back at home. And so it's like, oh no, it totally makes sense in seeing, you know, how he was raised and how his family is. And then yeah. something else that really stood out to me that I feel like we have talked about it. Well, actually, okay, something else to take on to you, but main thing, I just got to say it. CT was fine, is fine, has always been fine. We just got to put it out there. Like, CT just beauty all yeah. along. But something that I thought also was interesting, like, there were so many good things that he said, but he was talking about passing the torch, which we hate to hear.
Yes.
Because we love CT, and like, I want to see CT, and I want to see him on season 40. Like, we love CT, but I also respect the fact that he's creating room for that. Like, I respect the fact when he spoke about the win with Casey, like feeling like he was going out on top, when they, you know, gave them, donated sort of the money to the other finalists, which I thought was amazing. But, you know, he mentioned you should really have fun, which I thought was beautiful. And he also said, you know, if you only focus on the money, you're going to be miserable, which I think is a testament to anyone wanting to come into this game of the challenge, right? Or just in life in general. And then he also said, just when you think you have all the answers, life is going to change all the questions. So enjoy yourself. And it's like, so beautiful.
It was so good.
Yeah, just, I think that's something that we should all carry with us. Also, did you catch the twinkle in his eye when he was talking about Diem?
Oh, of course. It's never going to go away. Mm-hmm. It's never going to go away. Like that is always gonna be his person, you know what I'm saying? And you can tell anytime he brings her up, anytime he talks about her, like even going to the last time that we saw her, he didn't even want to talk about that. He was like, everyone knows how the rest of the story plays out. He kind of like skipped over it, you know, because who wants to discuss that? But the good memories and the time that they shared, and you know, the smile on his face was like no other. So you can always, you know for sure that was his person, for sure.
Yeah, there was just like a sparkle and electricity between them. And I'm fortunate that I had an opportunity to meet Diem and spend a little bit of time with her before she passed. And she really was everything she seemed to be. Like, you know how sometimes people get elevated after they're gone into this amazing person? No, Diem is, her legacy is, like, she was always this amazing person. And seeing the twinkle in CT's eye when he remembers her was just like, I was like, not a YouTube show got me tearing up, but but really, like, it's just, it was really so beautiful. What do you think makes CT so compelling to watch on television?
I think because we saw growth. Like, he came on the show and CT was CT. You could depend on him to be an all-around challenger. He was going to give us the fight. He was going to give us the actual fights. He was going to give us the confessionals. Like, CT was an all, and he was hungry for it. Like, he wanted it by any means necessary. And that, I believe, as a viewer, is something you want to see. And as time goes on, you have to remember he's done these shows for years.
Yeah, 20
years.
So
as time goes on, you become attached to these. It's this weird attachment you get as a viewer to the people that you watch on the shows. And so you get attached to them. And so you find yourself constantly, constantly rooting for them. But I think the thing that sets him apart from a lot of others is definitely the hunger and the execution that he goes, the length of the execution he'll go through in order to make sure he gets fed, to feed that hunger. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's intense, and it's captivating. It's captivating for sure. Yeah. What about you?
Well, I think he's really been adaptable. It speaks to your point about growth and really nimble and how he's played this game for so long. He talked about the different ways that he's been viewed. Like, initially, you know, he was sort of angry when he felt like he wasn't taken seriously, right, as a challenger. Like, he came in angry, and then he talked about the passing of his brother, and that particular season he had a chip on his shoulder. And then he took a break, and when he came back, people were sort of sleeping on him, and he realized, like, oh, but I can use this to my advantage. Like, he really was able to be nimble in that way, and just watching how he's worked with the different partners as he's made it through, and talking about things that he regrets, things that maybe he would have handled differently. It's really interesting in conversations that you don't get to have with your reality TV faves. And I love that this show is really kind of exposing that and allowing us a real peek. Like, for the amount of people that message us and say, hey, I want to be on the show, or their main goal is to get on a show, I think it's really great to have something like this where you can get a true peek behind the curtain. It honestly kind of reminds me of what was great about Real World, because I think Real World, you had people for the most part, at least in the kind of main seasons, who were just like bumbling through, who were just like CT's audition, right? You just happen to be there, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, like, I'm going to live, I'm going to do, I'm going to whatever. And then
just blindly.
Kind of. I mean, really, because that is, look, I don't regret a lot, and I don't regret doing it on the show, but there are certainly things I watch and I cringe from back then in the Real World. I'm like, ooh. But you got an authenticity, and it also meant that in the challenge house, like, once you made it to the challenge place, you got this sense of fun, right? Like, there was just, because it was just so silly. Like, no one took themselves too seriously, because how could you when you were on a reality show before it was necessarily cool to be on reality shows in certain regards, and before it really like meant anything or anyone knew what it would mean. And so, you know, like they showed the clip of him running in the chicken suit or whatever in the early days. Can you imagine now? I wish TJ, please bring that back for 40. Like, please let there be a challenge where people have to dress up
roller
into something
skates or dominoes.
What? Ridiculous. And then just do it. Please, please, please. That would be amazing.
They're going to be like, oh, this is so Big Brother. We didn't sign up for this. They're going to complain so bad. But as we see, it goes all the way back to those first seasons. That's so cool, man. Just just getting that peek into who he is as a human and his life and, you know, him growing into now a father. Yeah. Like, CT is a whole dad now.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? And so when you become a parent, certain things about you and who you used to be, they kind of have to take the back seat. And speaking of parents, I think this is a perfect time for us to give Amanda's episode a listen, because my girl is a whole mother now.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen.
I auditioned for Are You the One because I'm a big reality TV junkie. I am a reality TV troll. I was like, I could find my perfect match and I could win $1 million, right? Love and money. So it's perfect. And I just sent in my application, and I did an audition tape at Twin Peaks. I showed them me partying at the bars, all that. And then they're like, okay, we like you. We're gonna fly you out. So I was like, this is crazy, right? So I flew to LA. Back then, when I was 21, I was wearing a lot of makeup. Growing up, I was teased about my freckles all the time. Kids were really mean back then, and so I hid them. So when I got there, I was all dressed up, my hair is curled, I had my makeup on, and I walk into the room of like 10 people. And I walk in there and they're like, oh, she has freckles. Take off all your makeup and come back in here. And I was like, oh, like that was my worst nightmare. So I took off all my makeup and I go back in there, and all of them were just like, oh my God, she's beautiful. And like, I just started crying. It was like a moment for me. The head guy for the show was like, if we put you on the show, you're not allowed to hide your freckles. And I was like, oh, okay, fine.
Next up is Amanda.
Amanda! They were like, you're crazy, you're pretty, you gotta be on our show.
You and Kiki got into it a little bit. What's up with you guys?
Her reaction when we voted them in, I just think was I think it was poor.
She thinks I'm fake, and that's fine. The other girls know what's up.
I think that you're fake as
You have no right to say whether or not I'm a fake person. You don't know me, so shut the f*** up and turn around.
I would like you to come over here and make me shut the f*** up.
Oh, it was crazy. I think when I first got on TV, all my friends were like, what? You're going on a TV show?
I like a guy with like a really good athletic build. And then the personality after. I think that's been my problem.
I think I'm kind of the same. I feel like I've always been very upfront, very vocal about how I'm feeling, even if that makes me an outcast, which that kind of happened to me on Are You the One, and it also happened to me on The Challenge. So when I was on Are You the One, fans hated me. They hated me. I was getting so many comments on my Instagram saying crazy, like thousands of comments. I think I had the personality to be on reality TV because everything that they were commenting, it didn't bother me. You know what I mean? Because I was like, these people don't even know me. I went onto TV being like, I'm gonna be me, you know, whether they like me or not. And it's gotten me into a lot of trouble. It's made me a lot of enemies, but it's also like made me a lot of really good friends. It was crazy because as soon as I went on Are You the One, everything just snowballed from that. Rivals 3, I was fresh off of Are You the One. We were partying, drinking every single day, and I did not train for it. I was a total slob kebab on that one. I came out with guns blazing on accident. It wasn't even on purpose. Literally, I got there, and it was a humping challenge. I was like, oh my God, where am I? And then after that, we didn't even win, and TJ's like, oh, you're going on a tequila tasting dinner. And I'm like, dude. So then I drank 10 shots of tequila, and I just raged on everybody all night.
And guess what? Now that you're the biggest...
Everyone else is weak.
These people like to find your weak spots, and I'm gonna make it seem like I'm a crazy bitch because I don't want them to know the soft spots that they could potentially hit in the future.
Hear me out for a second.
Do I have to slice off second week I'm here? We're here right now.
You know that's true. Obviously, made a lot of enemies.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
One thing's for sure, two things for certain. When it comes to Amanda, oh baby, good luck. She's not going to back down. She's going to go back and forth with you for hours. She may be more wrong than two left shoes, but she is going to argue you down. And I think that is why a lot of challengers may have an issue with her, but a lot of fans love her because she's going to give you TV. And when you come to reality TV, you come for the challenges, of course, but you also come for the entertainment. And that girl is entertainment. No one can take that away from her. How did you feel about Amanda's clip?
Amanda is 100% entertaining. That is so true. I remember when we were doing Aftermath and she came on and she was the one who was so excited to spill everybody's tea.
Oh, yeah.
Like she was the first, even when it wasn't tea that was like necessary, like Amanda was just happy to like put it out there. I also though get a vibe, and I loved in her episode of Home Turf getting to see, she shows hints of this soft side. Mm-hmm. Also, Amanda is that girl. The fact that she suits up every day to go to work in such a high risk environment.
Yeah.
But also she's going in that environment, yet she's helping people like as a nurse.
Yeah.
Is wild. Is wild. Like Amanda is indeed that girl. No wonder why she is freaking fearless in that way. So much respect to her. And then comes home to being, you know, mama bear, papa bear, all the things.
All in
the way
one.
She took care of her dad is just beautiful. I have two questions for you, though, because I know you and Amanda are friends and homies. And I also know you're stubborn as hell.
Yeah.
So if you two were arguing, you just said that Amanda will not back down. And there was a clip in here, which I was dying laughing because Davon, it was Josh and Amanda going at it. And Davon just like sitting in the corner laughing. Okay, so in a debate between you and Amanda, who wins?
So here's the thing. When it comes to the relationship Amanda and I have, because we did two seasons together, right? First season, she was my enemy. Second season, she became my friend. And so in that, I've learned you have the experience, I have the wit. So let's put that together, you know? So in a debate, I would say that we find common ground to trust each other's opinions, you know?
Okay.
It's one of those situations, but it's a struggle.
I like that. That was a diplomatic answer. I'm going to let that one be diplomatic because now we have another question for you and you cannot give a diplomatic answer.
Okay.
Amanda shouts you out in this episode.
Yeah.
Well, she shouts you out in a challenge episode, but it's shown in her home turf.
You already know I'm going with this.
Where she said that you both saw with your own eyeballs that Zach was swiping on a dating app.
Yeah.
While in a relationship. And she was like, ask Davon. Now, I know you're a lot of things, but a liar is not one. So, Davon, did you see with your own eyes that he was indeed active on dating apps?
Yes. And I said that at the reunion. He was definitely on the app. But I also said it was completely innocent. He was looking at the responses he was getting from the girls, but I didn't see him actually responding back.
So he was just like laughing at, okay.
Yeah, he was, he was actually like showing us the messages. And I said
all of
that.
Because he thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I said all of that at the reunion. So,
He
was definitely on the app.
But he was like laughing about it. All right. We just wanted to double check in there.
Ask Davon.
I know, like, right? And then it cuts to you looking like, why am I in it? Like, don't ask me. So good. It was so good. Another question, because you know Amanda. Like, watching this episode was interesting, and I saw a lot of the comments for it too, because you know I love to read some comments.
Okay.
Well, sometimes. The comments were interesting too, about people saying like they appreciated getting to see different sides of Amanda.
Yeah.
So she says in her home turf that she's not evil, right? And that some people have like made, and they show cut to clips of Johnny sort of calling her evil and doing that fake thing with like the crucifix, that whole thing. But then they also show her holding up the horns, right? And it seems like she comes from a place of always wanting to be on the offensive because she's so afraid of people, of being vulnerable with the wrong people. Can you speak to like what you know about her personally? And is there anything in this home turf that either surprised you despite knowing her or reaffirmed certain things you know about her but that you think other people might not?
I definitely think watching this home turf episode, it just reaffirmed of everything I know about her. Like, okay, when we're on a show, we're on a show, right? And she made a statement where she said, they think I'm this evil person and they're this and they're that, and I'm gonna ride that. I'm gonna ride that because that eliminates any pockets or any windows that they can find to try to peek in. Because one thing about reality TV, it is a game, but it's also mental. And so as she was saying, people will find little pockets of vulnerability or weaknesses within you where that they can prey on. And so she didn't want to give anybody an opportunity to be able to do that. Now I was, and I got to experience that in my first season with her, which was Final Reckoning. I was like I didn't like her at all. But then when we came back and we did War of the Worlds season part one or whatever, and I got an opportunity to peel back those layers. And I was like, oh, like you are such a cool person. You know what I mean? Like this girl used to sit back and we used to talk for hours and just getting to know who she, like Amanda the person opposed to Amanda the challenger. They're two totally different people, you know? And so even when, if you think back to the season where her and Camilla are getting into it, right? She's going back and forth with Camilla. Certain things that Camilla said to her, you see it. It's a peek. We only get a peek at it, but you see she's affected by it. And but she hurry up and comes in with this hard exterior, like, oh, I got it. I can't show that weakness. I got to hurry up and put up this wall. You see it happening, but you also see that moment of vulnerability. And so it's definitely there. It's just she's protective of it. It's not for everybody. And I think us as humans, we're like that as well. Like, you can't just expose yourself to everybody. You know what I mean?
True. I wonder, though, if she puts herself, because something else that struck me about this home turf episode that was both amusing and only in Amanda way, but also interesting, is as she's, like, recounting her seasons, and then she's like, and I made enemies, and, like, people, and there's almost this sound of surprise in her voice, you know, where, like, it was like, really hard for me. And it's like, girl, yes, it was hard for you, because you came out the gate, like, just swinging at everything, and you were punching the air. Like, yes, it was hard for you. And so it's like, I wonder if she sometimes, though, makes it hard. I get that it's a defense mechanism, but makes it harder for herself, because in the limited time I got to spend with Amanda at Aftermath, at the studios, I could sense that there actually was this like sweet, fun, smart, intelligent woman in there. Yeah. And, you know, then we watch her on like even some of her most recent seasons, and it's like, I get you're playing this character, but you're hiding this amazing person that's there too. Like, even in this documentary, we get to see this amazing, like, I have so much respect for her, like, and a budding entrepreneur, but I like that she didn't call herself an entrepreneur in this episode when she was talking about her invention, though. She was just like a child's invention, like, inventor. Like, girl, you mean an entrepreneur. You want to be a successful
She's excited about it. Like, she's an evil genius. She's like, I came up with something.
I know. She was so cute. Like, there's just, they're definitely, and the way she took care of her dad.
Oh, man.
You know, there's just, there's a lot. Did you know about her dynamic or her relationship with her mom to that degree? Because we get to see a little bit of that in this episode too.
Yeah, we spoke a little bit about it inside of the Challenge House during War of the Worlds, but it was one of those situations where it was like that relationship kind of made me who I am today. You know what I mean? Like, I had to go through that. I had to experience, like, everything had to happen in order for me to be who I am today. So it was one of those situations where we take moments in our life and we try to figure out, okay, how can I flip this for my good? You know, even though it's traumatic, even though this could be the thing that could potentially take me out of here, how can I flip this for my good? And that's kind of what she did with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Amanda talks about the culture shock from going, you know, from being on Are You the One?
Right.
To the challenge, What was that transition like? Because, you know, Amanda talks about sort of coming from Are You the One and you came from Big Brother, which weren't originally feeder shows to The Challenge, right? So there wasn't this automatic understanding that you do Big Brother and then you go on The Challenge. What was that transition like for you?
For me, I came from a competition show into another competition show, right? But Big Brother is very much so carnival games and like mental mind F, right? Whereas The Challenge is like mental mind F and you possibly could die today.
Could die, literally. Yes.
So it's a whole different type of environment going over there. I was definitely like shook when I came over to The Challenge because first of all, I didn't even think, I knew what The Challenge was. Like I said, I grew up watching it, but I never thought I would have the opportunity to play. And then Natalie from my season of Big Brother 18,
she went over there. I was with her last weekend or 2 days ago. Love Nat.
She went over there and I was like, oh baby, she done kicked the door open. I said, I gotta get over there. So when they called me, it was an immediate yes. Like no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I didn't think twice anything. I was like, yes, I'm going to green as hell. Went over there and was like, oh Devon, what is this? So it's definitely a shock. And I can only imagine, like you said, coming from the real world, you know, where you guys, y'all weren't jumping off no cliffs. Like
literally not. And my season didn't even have a job to do. Most seasons of Real World had a job. Mine was one of the only seasons that we didn't even have an actual job. We could do whatever we wanted. So it was very, very different experience going in it, like for me, because again, I wasn't as familiar with the show. I wasn't familiar at all with the show. Then I think actually it was great because I really came in from like a pure play. Like I didn't have preconceived notions about anyone or anything because I just was like, okay, hi, like this is, what is this? Whereas now I do feel like people are prepared, like kind of prep before coming in the first time. And I definitely didn't. And then hence why I didn't know who Big Easy was my first season, because I had never seen this show. But it definitely is a transition just from like the physical aspect and like, you know, but at the same time, actually, the living in the house element, I feel like it's similar to Real World, at least in our house, because we didn't get, there was a lot of people that didn't get along in our Real World house. So it was always sort of, you were on eggshells the whole time. So I feel like being in The Challenge house was sort of similar in that way.
For Big Brother, you have to take into consideration, we're locked on a lot. Do you understand? We are
on
a lot.
Yeah, I know. That is wild. And you guys are really, and I don't know how you don't lose your minds.
Girl, you know how with MTV, you guys get camera people. You guys interact with the camera people. They're there. They're in your face. We don't even get that. We don't see anybody but each other for the entire time that we're there. So that was even a shock, having cameramen follow me around. I was like, bro, like, I'm gonna need you to back up because this is very invasive.
Oop, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Okay, come on. Let's get back to the show.
Amanda mentioned she was really into reality TV before coming on the show. And you mentioned you grew up watching The Challenge. So I'm taking it you were also really into reality TV before
it?
Or
For sure. She called herself a reality TV troll. At that time, I was not a troll. I think, you know, after a couple of seasons, I kind of became a troll on social media. But, you know, growth. Deliverance. Gross. But I definitely was a reality TV person. Like, something about it just always sparked my attention. Now, me wanting to be on it, absolutely not. That wasn't a thing. I literally only did Big Brother for my grandmother, because before she passed away, that was something she wanted me to do. And it just kind of like turned into a thing. But that was never the goal. Like, reality TV was never the goal. Like, I can watch it. I don't want to do it though, right?
Yeah.
How about you?
That's interesting. Grandma wanted you to do that. So I actually looked down my nose at reality TV. And so I literally, I think at one point had said I'd never do reality TV. And at the time of my audition for Real World, I've told this story before, but so I won't get fully into it, but it's like I met Bananas because he was down where I was going to school, like doing an event that my then boyfriend was like hosting. Mm-hmm. And I had auditioned to be actually on a CBS like scripted show that they were supposed to be doing. Okay. And when I met Bananas, I also was just like, huh, I wonder, like, this could be interesting. Like, whatever. Like, I'll just apply. Hmm. And so I just applied. And then sure enough, 6 months later, I was moving to Brooklyn to be on the newest season of Real World. And the CBS show, like, never even made it to air. So it worked out that I didn't end up getting that. Look at God.
I feel like when we go into these casting processes, we all have an interesting story about how we deal with the producers or how the producers deal with us. That casting, it's always different, right? As we saw with CT, his whole thing was chasing them down the hallway about taking off his shirt, right? My Big Brother story was I would always tell them I'm a germaphobe, and then one of the producers sneezed, and I said, get her some Lysol, because what is that about, right? That's how
You're
I got
hilarious.
Cast. I told them to spray some Lysol, because I don't know what she just sneezed out of her mouth. And so that's how I got cast. And so hearing that Amanda went into her casting interview, and they said, you have freckles. And that was like her thing. They said, go out, wash off your makeup, and come back in.
But
and
she
they
had
fell
to agree
in love.
To not like cover. And she's so beautiful with her. Yeah. Like, I love her freckles.
Yeah.
And I love what that did for her self-esteem. Like, it seemed like it was something she really needed to hear, which is really special. And what the challenge can do to you, for you. Like, it's kind of goes back to CT's point of it's not always all about the money. This show has the ability to, like, have a lasting impact.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things I feel like I always get sentimental when I talk about the challenge. It can do it. It is its own special place. It's its own special thing. And I love getting to see these home turf episodes and getting a peek behind some of these iconic players and characters who have taken the ultimate sort of leap of faith in living their lives out loud and being in a very, because the challenge puts you in a very vulnerable position. I know Natalie says her knees still aren't right after her time on the challenge. and so it puts you in a very vulnerable position, but just like living out loud and the impact that both it has for viewers, but also for the people competing on the show. It really means a lot. What is your overall thoughts of the home turf episodes today?
Like I said, I think, and to piggyback on what you said, it's a great opportunity for us to get to see the humans. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of people who play this game play as robots, you know? And it's like, I have to win. I have to get money. No friends.
Yeah.
Like, like that. And so to get to see where everyone grew up and what raised you and what made you who you are today, I think that is so cool. So yeah, I'm grateful. I'm definitely grateful. Y'all should have called me. I could have walked y'all through Inglewood and let y'all know what was really going on.
There you go. What's up, D? What's up? I also am hopeful that, because I know that the fans are passionate about the show, of the viewers, all of us are passionate about the show. And I know that sometimes we see our faves getting into it. I feel like particularly this season on social media, but I'm also hopeful that the home turfs will remind people that, they're humans. There are people behind like these characters that you see or these tweets. So next time you want to tweet something at them, just like stop and remember the human side, you know, like, yes, maybe Amanda's being evil and loud, but also Amanda's actually a really sweet mom and has fought through adversity and goes to a prison every day and like helps stitch fingers back together and like just the things that she see. That's what she said. Like, it's wild.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I know, right, girl? I clutched my pearls when she said that. So like just remembering that of the people that you see and just kind of appreciating all that they give on the show. But also if they do piss you off on an episode, instead of just going so hard at them, taking a step back and remembering like, oh, this is a human too. You know, like they're not perfect. There's a lot. But if you want more, know that this was just a taste of this incredible new series. Also, shout out to the producers. I know some of them worked on Aftermath. I love what they've done with this series. And also, it's not easy to get someone like Amanda to be vulnerable. So shout out to them and just taking the time and investing and pouring into these amazing TV icons and getting them to open up to us. If you want to watch more, then make sure you check out the other episodes of The Challenge Home Turf featuring Tori, Devin, Car Maria, Darrell, and more on The Challenge YouTube channel. And in the meantime, where can people learn more about you, Day?
Oh, well, you can find me on all of the socials, Snapchat, Instagram.
Oh, she's adding snapping now? What you snapping?
We done got to Snapchat.
What's she snapping?
Let me make sure I put an S on it. The Instagrams. You can find me on Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. Absolutely. More so YouTube more than anything. Ain't that crazy? Look how the life been turned around.
Look at that.
You can find me on YouTube more than anything, but you can find me on all social media at DevonDiane_. Where can the people find you, ma'am?
You can find me on Instagram without the F's. You can find me at Devon Simone, DevynSimone. You can go to my website, devonsimone.com. Scroll to the bottom. You will see my socials there. If you're single, you can hit me up and hit that matchmaking tab. Also, you can go to, if you just Google Devon Simone and Amazon together, it'll come up my channel there, Devon Simone's Gift Closet. Hit the follow button. So then that way we can chat live when we do our live shopping streams. They're actually a lot of fun and sort of kooky and just ridiculous in the best way possible. So you can check that out too. And thank you for joining us for another episode of MTV's official Challenge podcast. If you liked this episode, rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and make sure you tell a friend and a friend of a friend and then a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yes. And we'll see you next time on MTV's official Challenge podcast.
Wee. That didn't sound like CT.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.